Blog Talk Radio.
Thank you.
things we've been together. There's no one else can love me like you do. Through the rain and stormy weather, I can truly say there's no one like you. A painful situation.
Thank you. Oh, my God. Oh, I'm not that girl that I used to be. Oh no. And this is all talking about the people turn away from God and they begin to do a lot of wickedness, worshiping idols and all the stuff that they were doing that were contrary to God's word, God's command. And as you look around the United States today, you look in Africa and India and China and Japan, Iraq and Iran, Pakistan and Brazil, Belize and Holland, Denmark, Amsterdam, Australia, all the countries, Germany, France, Italy, all these places that you look, you will see the evil that's in the earth. The people are fighting against the law. They're fighting against their leaders. The leaders are fighting against the people. And all of this stuff is going on. Why? Because Satan is ruling. He's reigning right now. He's reigning right now because God has given him this time to reign. But guess what? He is already defeated. Don't let the little head that he's showing up deceive you or distract you and cause you not to continue in your faith. A lot of people are giving up and saying, what's the use of doing this? What's the use of doing that? And folks are saying that today you'll hear them say, what is the use of praying? What is the use of fasting? What is the use of going to the church building? What is the use of even relying on God? You'll hear people saying all of these things. But I come to tell you today that you can trust God. You can depend on God. You can rely on him because he never failed us yet. And he will never fail us. Glory to God. I got a message that I want to preach. I don't know when. And it talks about Yahweh is speaking. Are you listening? Hallelujah. Very powerful message. I was studying it last night after I got off the line with Pastor Vic and Deacon Fridge and all the other people that was on the line. We want to finish this series that the Lord has given us. And I asked the Lord in prayer, Lord, how much more of this do you want me to do? He told me one more part, and that's part 7. And then we'll start a new series, what we will call the new beginning of new series and times we will be releasing today. Here we want to go into the subject. Let's start at Jeremiah chapter, computer's acting up. Look at this. Jeremiah chapter 44. Jeremiah chapter 44, not verse 10. Let me put it up in the computer. I like to use two different Bibles from time to time, see what God is doing. And let's go there and see what it does. See, we'll go back to the same thing. Oh, there it is. Hallelujah. Jeremiah, and let's start at verse 10 and see what the Lord is saying. Here we notice that in verse 10, the prophet says, as the Lord gave him utterance, he began to speak. And he said, they have not shown contrition up to this day, coming up the Logos Bible. And they have not shown reverence, and they have not walked in my law and in my statutes that I set before you and before your ancestors. Let's read it in the King James. And in the King James, Jeremiah says, the Lord is speaking to he says, they are not humble, even unto this day. Neither have they feared, nor walked in my law, nor in my statutes, that I set before you and before your fathers. God is saying that he had given all ancestors, or their ancestors, we got to say, put it in for all for us. He has given our ancestors commands and rules and regulations and set order before them, a standard before them, give them a blueprint of how to walk, how to talk, and how to live. but they have not adhered to anything that he has said. Isn't that like us today? Today you look at the world that we are living in, that we are part of, and when you look around, you kind of shake your head. You see, the people don't even care. They're not interested in doing what pleases God. And then you look at the teachers and those that are supposed to set an example, like the teachers and the preachers, you know, they don't teach the word of God. They're teaching what makes the people feel good or make the people exalt them. You know, they don't teach about the Ten Commandments anymore. How many churches you go to, or you will ever hear them talk about the Ten Commandments? What should you do and what should you not do according to the word of God? They don't tell you that because they're not concerned about where your soul would end up. They're concerned about how much money, how much tithes, and how much offerings you're going to give. That's what they're concerned. So if they can keep you happy and keep you giggling and go, oh, my pastor, oh, my bishop, my pastor, oh, he preached, oh, he preached, he preaching good, he preached good. Because why? He's not preaching anything. He's not preaching anything to convict you from the lifestyle that you're living that is contrary to God's word, so that you will be convicted, not condemned, but convicted to make a life change. We find ourselves wondering why. Why am I not moving forward? Why am I not going anywhere? Why is my ministry not growing? Why am I am not prosperous? Why you got, you ask yourself such a powerful question like that? You ought to take an example. Take an example of your life. You know, don't keep questioning stuff. Take an example and see reason why you're not moving anyway. You don't have no anointing. You claim you have anointing, but you don't have no anointing. You're stagnant because you're not following the instructions from the Lord. It's like if you go to your job, regardless of what your job is, the boss man, the supervisor, give you an order. You can call it an order, or you can call it an assignment. Well, let's use the assignment. That sounds better. Thank you, Holy Spirit. The boss man gives us an assignment. And he said, well, this is what I expect you to do today. I am going away for a little while. I got to go check out some other things, some other sites, make some bids on some other jobs. But I want you to come. In my field, he would say, well, I may be working on a bathroom, or I may be working on a furnace or air conditioning system, or just putting in some pipes or some. He said, well, I want you to finish roughing in the pipes for the bathroom and for the kitchen. He said, that's enough. You should be able to finish that today. Well, when he come back, he may not come back the same day. He might come back a day or two later. Check on the job to see how the job is going. And when he look and see that I haven't really accomplished anything, well, he get displeased because I am busy listening to hip-hop or reggae music or easy listening music or jazz or soul music. You know what I'm trying to draw this picture for you. And I'm listening to something. I'm just chilling out one because the boss is going out of town or he's going to another city or he's going to another country for vacation. And I'm just chilling because I know the boss is not going to stop by like he usually stop by every afternoon or early in the morning or late in the evening. I know he's not going to come by, so I'm chilling. So when he come back, he said, well, David, well, come that you just this little bit, you haven't accomplished anything like I asked you to do today. And then he might ask, say to me, do you think I should keep you on the job because you're not following my instructions? Well, this is what God is saying. God is saying to them here in the book of Jeremiah, chapter 44, verse 10. It's very easy and simple. God says that they are not humble. In the King James Version, which this is part six of the series that we're doing, we have one more part to do, and then we're going to step into another realm. And God says it's so powerful, this particular verse, because a lot of times we don't look at this stuff. When we go to chapter 7 of Jeremiah, you're going to see how powerful words God gave to this prophet. And then we'll jump over to 1 Samuel. There's a lot of stuff here the God has shown us See, we need to go back to the old. Go back to the Old Testament and spend some time studying the Old Testament. Because we get into the New Testament teaching and preaching, and we get lackadaisical. You know, we get comfortable. So, well, the Lord is a God of grace and mercy, and we can relax here and do this and do that, but he's also a God of wrath. And you don't want to get him angry. You see, every time that Israel make him angry, what happened? Thousands of people die. Listen. They are not humble even unto this day. Neither have they feared, nor walked in my law, nor in my statute that I set before you and before your father. See, do this stuff. This is why we got to teach our children and grandchildren what this is, the law. Because this thing is reaching to the third and fourth generation. We got to teach them the truth. We're dependent on the president, the Congress, the senators, the mayors, and all of these people, state senators. We listen to these people. We look into them to teach our children and grandchildren. And God said, no, I've given you my word. I've given you the fathers and the mothers and the grandfathers and grandmothers and great-grandfathers. I've given you the word to give to the children so that they would reverence me. They would humble in my presence. They would respect who I am, but they have no respect. Then he said, therefore thus saith the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, behold, I will set my face against you for evil and to cut off all Judah. Not some of Judah, not some of those that turn against him, but all of those that turn against him. Why? Because they're into idolatry. They're living a promiscuous lifestyle just like we're living now right in the United States of America. Now they say in California, I was watching on the news last night, that there's so much fentanyl that's coming into the country through this open border stuff that the president does, because he tried to go against everything that President Trump did. I mean, he tried to say, well, President Trump did one good thing or did two good things. Let's let those stay, and we'll go on and start building from where he left off. No, let's eliminate everything because he's a Republican and we're Democrats. That's what they're saying. Let's eliminate that stuff. So we got millions of people coming into the country and bringing tons of fentanyl in here. They said there's more deaths now this last year and this year than any time before on fentanyl. People are dying. But the news is not releasing this thing like the way it should. If President Trump was doing something, it would be blown up over the screen because even though he has some slight stuff about him, he still have a mindset to call Jesus Lord. He still have a mindset to try to stand up for the unborn babies. You understand? So, I mean, he not perfect. God used a man in the book of Daniel called Cyrus. And Cyrus was wicked too. But he had some good things about him. And God used him to rescue Israel, his children, out of Babylon. Now, you see, God used President Trump because he said, well, he grabbed a woman this and he grabbed a woman. The president we got doing worse things than that, but nobody's talking about it. And see, what happened is, We seen this thing going on, and because they say, well, they hated Trump so much, they're putting this government in power, and it's sinking the ship. It's just like, I don't like what this man got over here. He got some cotton. I like the cotton he has, and the cotton is full of dirt. So we're just going to throw the cotton overboard. And we got some lead and some we got some iron balls and stuff over here. We're going to pick up all that stuff. And guess what? We think we're going to do well with the iron ball and the lead and zinc and all that stuff. And what we find out is that the boat is sinking. The boat begins sinking because we put in stuff that please us, but not please God, and not even please God's people. So what happened? We are sinking. We find that we are sinking. The United States is sinking, just like that. So God said he will cut off all of Judah because of the evil. And said, and I will take the remnant of Judah, those that are left back, and have set their faces to go into the land of Egypt to sojourn there, and they shall all be consumed and fall in the land of Egypt. They shall even be consumed by the sword and by the famine. They shall die from the least even unto the greatest by the sword and by the famine. and there shall be an execration, an astonishment, and a curse, and a reproach. Now, Lord, listen, God is declaring this in the north. And God speak like this, you know God's going to do it. He's not saying I might do this or maybe I do this. God said this is what I'm going to do. See, the people now have become so wicked that they become like a stench in God's nostrils. You don't want to be like that. We want to live a lifestyle that glorifies God, that honor God. We really want to get to a place of repentance. Hallelujah. Be like David, that God would say, David's a man after my own heart. Even though David was an adulterer and he was a murderer, he constantly seeking God to God to change his heart. He went on and says, God created me a clean heart and renew a right spirit within me. Why? Because David realized that he wasn't walking in completeness or wholeness that suffice God's command. So he keep going back to God. Vindicate me from this. Deliver me from this. Heal me from this. He keep going to God and seeking God. But these leaders today, they're all so pompous and so puffed up, even in the house of the Lord, that they walk with their chest pushed up like they are red because they have these degrees and all this stuff. And because they said somebody called them Dr. So-and-so, so-and-so, Apostle so-and-so, so, Bishop so-and-so, Archbishop, all these names that's not in the Bible. They said when they become apostle, they want to be a chief apostle. They become a bishop, they want to be an archbishop. They become a deacon, they want to be the senior. All this stuff, but they don't not focusing on living holy. Am I really pleasing God? Is my lifestyle pleasing God? This is what you should be worried about. I don't care if you call me apostle or if you call me deacon. Just don't call me fool. But I just want to know that you know that I'm living my life to please God. And this is what we should be focusing on. That when somebody sees us, they said, that's truly a child of God. That's a daughter of Zion. That's a son of Zion. People should be saying that. We don't have to have the Bible on our armpit and a lot of stuff going on that's showing that we are walking around with a robe all the time. Got a priest collar on all the time for people to give you respect. No, your lifestyle should cause them to give you respect. Not because you got a priest collar on or you want a Bible in your hand. That's what was happening. People are going to hell with a Bible in their hand, going to hell with a priest collar on, with a cross down their chest, got the bishop ring on, the apostle ring, the pastor ring, the evangelist ring, the teacher ring on. They got a ring for every ministry. And they have the ring on to show that they reached to that place, now they are qualified. But they're not holified. You got to get holified. No, I just made up that word. You got to be holified. Holy Ghost, thank you. You got to be holified. Be holy, because he's holy. They said, well, without that, no man going to see God. Not as a king. If you don't have holiness, everybody going to see him as he is. But you're not going to see him as a king. You will see him as a judge. When he sentenced you to hell, the lake of fire and brimstone. We ought to be scared of that. I mean, when you read that and see what's going to happen, the torment day and night, you ought to say, man, I don't want to be like that. I don't want that. I'm not going to let my flesh drive me into that. And that's what folk are doing. Let's go in here a little bit more. Let's see what he says. In they're talking about, I seen them on YouTube last night, they're saying that so many places, so many states, they hardly got any food on the shelves. Now they're striking in Canada. In some parts of the United States, the truck drivers are striking because they want them to a mandate for all the truck drivers to get vaccine and all this. And they said, no, we don't mind having a vaccine, but they won't want nobody force it down on us. I mean, this is supposed to be a nation of freedom, life and liberty, but we don't have it. What when you have a dictator saying you got to get a vaccine, or I told the boss to fire you. You can't be in the armed forces if you don't get a vaccine. The people should have a choice. No. He said, look, for I will punish them that dwell in the land of Egypt, as I have punished Jerusalem by the sword, by the famine, and by the pestilence. Isn't we having pestilence and famine? It's happening right now. This thing is being unfolded in our presence. The people are in a blind zone. The Bible says in 1 Corinthians, I believe it is, God spoke to us through Brother Paul, Hold your finger there. Let's go over there to 1 Corinthians. I believe it is there. Believe it is there as my spirit just hit me right there with that scripture. And, no, 2 Corinthians. Let's go there, 2 Corinthians. Hallelujah. Glory to God. See, the deception is so busy, and people are caught up in this zone of following the Joseph. Why? He said, in whom the God of this world has blinded the minds of them which believe not the gospel. They're not believing the truth. See, they're happy when they go into Bishop So-and-so church that got 35,000 members and they got 4 services, but they're not preaching by the Holy Ghost. They're preaching by their own flesh. They're walking and shaking their head and pushing their chest up. They're sweating and all this stuff. They're snorting and all this stuff. And it sounds good. And sometimes they use a little bit of scriptures. But most of the time they're using analogies, you know, motivational teaching and preaching to excite the congregation. But there's no message going forth that will bring conviction to change from what they are to what they need to be, to allow the Holy Ghost to change them. So he said, in whom the God of this world has blinded the minds of them that believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, whom is the image of God, should shine unto them. So you see what Satan is doing. And the world now, and they're all walking around like the blind leading the blind. This is what's going on. The blind leading the blind. And they say, well, it's all right. We are all right because we're doing the same thing, so it must be right. I love doing what I'm doing. You love doing what you're doing. We all doing the same thing. That's what they think. So it seems that they're all going the same place. Because see, the judgment, that this is judgment right here. It's coming. It's on its way. It's already begun. And it soon will be full bloom. But people are not hearing it. They're not hearing it for their soul man to be shaken. You see, if I hear that if I walk too far over this landscape, I'm going to fall off at the edge of the cliff. I'll be watching as I put my step. And I said, well, I don't want to walk in that direction. Because I hear the man said, if I walk over this, you know, it comes up on you pretty fast. And then you miss your friend, you're over the cliff, you're going down. There's no, you don't have a parachute to hinder you from breaking your neck and breaking all your bones. It's the same way. If the Bible said a soul that sinner shall die, even though God said all souls are mine, but he already said, he said, I love everybody. But if you continue in sin, you will die. Not only fleshly, but spiritually. You say, well, I know I got to die. I know I'm going to die, but I'm going to live this life that I got now the way I want to, because this is my life. Nobody can tell me how to live my life. Well, I got news for you. Somebody's telling you regardless if you want to. Either God is telling you, the Holy Spirit, or the spirit of Satan is telling you. Somebody going to tell you. Why? Because God is the spirit and Satan is the spirit, and both of them are fighting. Both of them are fighting for your soul. Both of them are fighting. Both of them want you to serve them. God wants us to serve him. That's why he sent his son to die on Calvary, on the cross, so that we will have everlasting life. He sent him to die so that we will have access to life again. The life that Adam and Eve had in the garden before their sin. God wants us to have that life again, where we have fellowship with him, where we can spend time with him. We can walk in the park and talk to God, and God will talk back with us. God will give us instruction when we're walking through the park, because we are spending precious time with him. We're making sure that we have a lot of time for God. We're not so caught up with the television system. We're not so caught up with the world system that we forget the God system. Hallelujah. We find the time to pray. We find the time to fast. We find the time to tell God how much we love him, how awesome he is, how mighty he is, that he is the sovereign God, that he is the great high priest. We are finding time to glorify him, to exalt him, to magnify his name. This is what it's all about. But we're excited about this president, the next president, this Congress, the next Congress, the Supreme Court justice, the local justice, all this stuff, the police department. We're consumed with all of these different entities, but God. But God, but the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Israel, we are consumed with everything except him. I'm not talking about the God of this world. I'm talking about the God that created this earth, that created heaven and earth, and all that's in it. I'm talking about him. We can't find time for him. Folk are busy doing their own thing, too busy. Listen. Hallelujah. Then he says, verse 14, so that none of the remnant of Judah, which are gone into the land of Egypt to sojourn there, shall escape or remain, that they should return into the land of Judah, to the which they have a desire to return to dwell there. For none shall return, but such as shall escape. Listen. God said none, only those that he allowed to escape. None should be able to return. Hallelujah. God is always going to give some grace. He says, then all the men which knew that their wives had burned incense unto other gods, and all the women that stood by a great multitude, even all the people that dwelt in the land of Egypt, the Petros, answered Jeremiah, saying, as for the word that thou hast spoken unto us in the name of the Lord, we will not hearken unto it. You hear that? Anyway, telling the prophet, look, we hear what you said. We heard the word that you said, but we're not going to hearken to it. I go to another sermon that I'm going to preach, starting in another series, talking about Yahweh speaking. Are you hearing? Are you hearing? They tell him that we heard the word, but we're not going to hearken to it. In other words, we're not going to follow the instructions that you are giving us. Isn't it like that? We telling people day in and day out that they got to repent and turn from their wickedness. We telling them day in and day out that if they continue in sin, that they're going to go to hell. And they say, well, I'm only going to die. And when they die, that's it. No, the Bible says in the book of Revelation, there's a second death. The first death is your flesh. The second death is your soul, your spirit man. That's going to cry out day in and day out in the lake of fire and brimstone. The Bible tells about it. But we don't want to hear that. And many times folk are not telling you about this. They say, once you die, that's it. If you don't do right now, you die, that's it. You just die. No, it's more than that. Because the Bible said it's a second death. That's why we, as a servant and children of God, we want to be in the first resurrection. The Bible said the second resurrection don't have no power over us. It don't have no power over us because we have turned all over to Christ Jesus. We have surrendered all to him. We are not playing Russian roulette with our souls. We have commend our life, body, mind, body, and soul to God for him to lead and guide us. No. Let's go. But we will certainly do whatever thing goes forth out of our own mouth to burn incense unto the queen of heaven. You see that? You know there's no queen in heaven. But they're burning incense, worshiping some deity that they claim is in heaven. We know there's only King Jesus. There's no king and queen in heaven. You see, so they are worshiping. Now they got to a place where they were worshiping the stars, and they were worshiping the moon, and they were worshiping the sun god. All of this stuff these folk were doing, and all they were doing is making God angry. Do you know when you got some folk that I used to go over and visit when I was in Washington, D.C., and I used to worship, I wasn't saved then. They know I got baptized and I got sprinkled back in the country before I came here. In other words, I got sprinkled after I thought I was baptized, because that's what they say we was on the Catholic Episcopal Church back in Barbados. And anyway, when I come here, I thought that I was baptized and I had to worry about anything, because, you know, in that religion, you can do anything you want to. They don't condemn nothing. Anything goes. That's just the way it is. They look the part, but they're not the part. The Bible says they have a form of godliness, but they deny the power they are. That's what the Catholic religion looks like. They look real holy. Oh, they got the thing and the incense burner, and they're shaking it all as they walk, the priests, or the elders. the topless and the waving that stuff and the smoke going everywhere and smelling up the sanctuary, and it looks holy. But then when you found the things that they're doing, they're not holy. You see, it's not what we say, it's what we do. We're speaking this thing, but we got to live it. We got to stop. Where? Oh, I just going to say this. I'm going to say, I just got to say this. No, let me do it. Hallelujah. Let me do this so that when they see, they say, well, they get sure. He speaks what he speaks, he does. You got to live this thing out. The Bible says, but he said, but we will certainly do what, said, I told you, man, look, he's not going to do what you said. The word that you spoke, he said, we heard it, but we're not going to do it. We're not going to hearken to it. In other words, we're not going to admit, you know, what you said to do. He said, but we will certainly do whatever thing goes forth out of our mouth to burn incense unto the Queen of Heaven and to pour out drink offerings unto her, as we have done, we and our fathers and our kings and our princes in the city of Judah and in the streets of Jerusalem. For then had we plenty of victuals and were well and saw no evil. Now we see this. You have people going to, we know people that we know pastors that go down to the river and go down to the ocean in the nighttime, 12 o'clock in the night, goes down there, and they go down there to meet this woman that comes up out of the water, this mermaid-type woman, Kundalini deity, and they have to have sex with his deity that comes up out of the water. It's a demon. And they have sex with her. Hallelujah. And she gives them different pieces of objects that she gives them. We know this is real. This is real. And they take these objects in a place in the house that they call the house of the Lord. That comes from these demons that's in the water. The book of Revelation talks about these demons that comes up out the water. These beasts that come out the water. And they can transform themselves to anything they want to. Look like anybody. That's why I warned a lot of pastors back in Africa when I was there ordaining leaders. Don't ever get caught up in witchcraft, because if you do, I cut you off. And there's a couple that they cut off because they want to get rich fast. They think that ministry is all about money. If you got a lot of cars and you got a big house and you got a lot of suits and a lot of dresses and a lot of wigs and gold and all that stuff, that you're prosperous. But I believe prosperity is within. Well, I can have some nice stuff on the outside, but prosperity is within the soul. When my soul is at rest, my soul is at peace, my soul is comfortable, feel satisfied with God, I'm prospering. I have more than enough. Hallelujah. Glory to God. I know I sit here sometime, I got two pennies to rub together. That's the truth. And shame the devil. And then all of a sudden, one of my people from Jamaica, Trinidad, or even right here in America, we say, Pastor, go to your messenger, or go to your Western Union site. Go to WhatsApp or Cash App or something. And they say, there's some money there for you. I ain't asking for nothing. Nothing. Because, see, when you're doing the will of God, God said he'll supply all your needs. You ain't got to worry about what this going to come from. You got to believe. Here in the book I was reading earlier today, God said that when people fear and have no faith, he said that fear and faith is sin. See, because he has not given you the spirit of fear, but of power, love, and a sound mind. He said, so if you have fear, fear is sin. Fear don't come from God. When the Bible talking about fear, Thomas, God is talking about reverencing him. It's not that you're scared of God like he's a big land that's going to come through the door and bite you up, or something that'll jump out the sky and crush you. No. He wants you to reverence him. That's the kind of fear that you respect him, you honor him as the supreme God, the holy God, the righteous God, the one who gave his son for us so we could have life. Hallelujah. The Bible said, he said, But since we left off to burn incense to the Queen of Heaven and to pour out drink offerings unto her, we have wanted all things and have been consumed by the sword and by the famine. See, the devil will make you feel all the time that as long as you stay connected to him, that you're going to be blessed. He's going to bless you. I tell people all the time that the devil can bless you right into hell with him. He'll bless you where you don't want to call Jesus Son of the Living God anymore. You don't even want to see Jesus as God. You'll begin to become argumentative with your brother and sister in Christ, because they say that we know that Jesus is God. Because the Bible said, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. So we know Jesus is God, not with God, is God. Hallelujah. So when you start to say that, some of your, even your brothers and sisters in Christ, in the same house of worship as you are, will come against you. Hallelujah. Because they don't believe that. I was talking there with a pastor that I was one of the leaders in the church, and years ago, and I said, well, how God has given us power to heal, because he says that the works he did, we should do an even greater works. And then why is she's an evangelist, she jumps up. First thing, well, I don't believe that. I don't believe that the power is for us now in this time that we're living. I believe the power is for 2,000 years ago, not for now. That was for the apostles back then, and the pastors and the advisors and teachers back then, but not for now. Why would God say that? He gave it to us power to heal the sick, raise the dead, open blind eyes, unstop deaf ears, cause the cripple to walk. Why would he say the work that he did, we should do even greater work? That was not just for the apostles. That was for us. But the thing about hindering us from this gift is manifested through us, is because we're failing to walk holy. We're failing to obey God and trust God for all that he says. We let the devil come and tell us, you don't have to do all of that. I'm going to bless you. I'm going to make sure you get a raise on your job, because your boss, the owner of the company, works for me. I got him on my payroll. So what I tell him to do, he's going to do. You're going to get a raise. If you just sacrifice unto me, if you just give me homage, that's what the devil wants. He wants to get the worship that belongs to God. He don't want you to worship your God. He don't want you to fast and pray and seek God for answers. He want you to come to him in the next time, in the late next time, when the sun goes down. He want you to come down to the river, and he want you to burn incense at the river. He want you to light candles at the river. He want you to come and do incantations at the river, because he's going to send a spirit that's going to come and talk to you, going to scare the devil out of you first, and then they're going to talk to you and tell you what to do so you can get rich. You're going to have to kidnap somebody's animals. You're going to have to kidnap somebody's child or something for a sacrifice, for a blood offering for the devil. I'm telling you this thing because if you don't know the truth, you'll never be free. People playing around with a lie, and the lie is going to take your soul. Playing around with a lie, listen to these wicked Antifa and Black Lives Matter stuff. You listen to them. They're all working that stuff. They're not concerned about you. They're not concerned about your soul. Watch the Black Lives Matter women, the two women, two lesbians that formed by Black Lives Matter. Guess what? They have million-dollar homes. Million-dollar homes. All that money that they raised, they bought million-dollar homes. One lady had about two or three houses, million-dollar homes. But how many poor people are dying in the streets for the cause that they claim they're standing for? They're not standing for you. They're not standing for me. They're standing for their own cause, their own pocketbooks. Hallelujah. How many of them going into Skid Row and say, look, we're gonna buy a piece of land, because we got so much money with this Black Lives Matter stuff. We're gonna invest some of this money in the neighborhood and build some them little small houses. We call them mini houses or something like that. How many of them gonna go to the neighborhood and buy some of them little houses for some of them people that are on the streets and say, well, let me just take, we're gonna buy all this land over here. We can purchase this land. And because we're doing this good thing, there's other people that going to subscribe, going to donate to it, because they see you're doing a good. No, they're not doing that, because they're not concerned about us. They're not concerned about the poor people on the street. That's why I know God's going to give me the millions that I'm waiting for. I'm waiting for the millions, and I know God's going to give them to me. And when I get them, I already told God what I'm going to do for the poor. Because right now I'm doing for the poor. Right now. even though I'm retired. I'm helping the poor in this country and out of this country. I'm helping the poor in Africa and India and right in this country, in the Caribbean. This is what we got to do. This is not about walking around. I got to have some gold bracelets and tennis bracelets, diamond bracelets and gold teeth and all that foolishness to put a diamond in my teeth so when I open my mouth to see the glitter come out. All this stupid stuff, man. Man, just work out your salvation with fear and trembling. He said, and when we burn incense to the Queen of Heaven and pour out drink offerings unto her, then we make her cakes to worship her and pour out drink offerings unto her without or man. The husband was also involved. God saw all this. That the husband and the wife were going down to giving worship to the different entities of God, different gods. This is what messed God up. God can't stand that stuff. I don't mean mess him up like how when we get messed up. It really annoyed God to see that he has paid an ultimate price for us at Calvary, and then we end up going and getting a crystal ball or getting a Ouija board or getting a magician wand or getting some powders and candles and all that foolishness and burning and chanting and rubbing a Buddha statue belly thinking that we're going to get rich. Worshiping a different entity. And God said, I'm cutting you all off. I brought you out, and I don't want to kill you. You know, like some mother said, boy, girl, I brought you into this world, and I'll take you, I'll send you out this world. When kids disrespect, I know when I'm back in my country, boy, we couldn't disrespect our parents. Come on, we'll say, look, I brought you into this world, and I would take you right out of this world. But here in America, the kids, they say anything they want to their parents and grandparents, and the parents can't touch them. You know why they can't touch them? Because the government set it up that way. If your grandmother touch you, if your father touch you, your mama touch you, you just call CPS, Child Protective Service, and we'll come down and take care of them. We'll send the sheriff and we'll send a couple of officers, and they would arrest your grandmother, your grandfather, your mother, your uncle, your aunt, any family member that touch you. You can stay anywhere. You got the right to talk anywhere you want to. That's why the kids are running wild. Here in this text here, Jeremiah said unto all the people, to the men and to the women and to all the people which had given him that answer, saying, the incense that you burn in the cities of Judah and in the streets of Jerusalem, you and your fathers and kings, your kings and your princes and the people of the land, did not the Lord remember them? And came it not unto his mind? So that the Lord could no longer bear because of the evil of your doings and because of the abominations which you have committed. Therefore is your land a desolation and an astonishment and a curse without an inhabitant, as it is this day. Now, watch the stuff that's going on. Here we got people coming over the border by the millions. Thousands of millions, hundreds of thousands of millions. They're coming over. And they tell me, I was watching last night, they tell me that people are dying in the streets in South Texas and in North Texas and in all these different states in California. They're dying in the streets. To some of the people, especially when the nights get real cold, they don't have no shelter. They die on the street. And some, they get in the hotels. They go that night and rob people, kill people. Why? Because our president says he's opened the border. He is fighting now, sending our soldiers, our sons and daughters that are in the armed service. He is sending to the Ukraine to stand against Russia. So it's most likely they're going to go into war. Most likely. I can say most definitely they're going to go into war. And then the American people that vote for the system are going to start to cry out for all their sons and daughters that are going to die in the war. You hear me? Because they don't want truth. They don't want to hear truth. Hallelujah. A half truth is a lie. And a half a lie is still a lie. It's not truth. So these people don't begin to. God see and heard everything that went on. And Jeremiah be telling him that it comes up in the mind of God. God remember everything. God is not, you don't have Alzheimer's. He's not slow in action. He knows what's going on. God knows what's going on. He sees what's going on. So a lot of people are suffering. Judgment is coming. Like I said, it's already here. It's already begun. They said last night that there's another virus on its way. How do they know? Because they're making it. They're making it. Nobody can tell that the sun coming at a certain time. Hallelujah. God tells them when the sun comes up. He said the sun will come. When they say, the people say, well, it's going to be a bad snowstorm tomorrow. And they said it. God said, no, it's not going to be a snowstorm. And then they come back and say, well, something. They say, well, the wind blew from the northeast or the southeast or the southwest, and it changed the biometrics or something, they say, with the storm. So the storm shift. But they will tell you for a day and a half that you're going to have a mega storm. But you should still try to prepare yourself for the mega storm either way when they say that. But God shifts it. The other day they said we're going to have another storm. We had a bit of sprinkle. Man, people would bang, we call them snow blowers and all this stuff and shovels. And I mean, the people didn't even got many snow blowers. One man said he usually got about 1,100 or something like that, 1,400, something like that, snow blowers every year. He said, but this year he only got 90 because of all this thing that's going on with the Pandora and the pandemic and the stuff holding back all the material, the food and all the stuff. He said, God said, Jeremiah said, moreover said unto you all the people and to all the women, hear the word of the Lord, all Judah that are in the land of Egypt. Thus says the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, saying, you and your wives have both spoken with your mouth and fulfilled with your hands, saying, we will surely perform our vows that we have vowed to burn incense to the Queen of Heaven and to pour out drink offerings unto her. You will surely accomplish your vows and surely perform your vows. Now, Jeremiah begin to bring back their own word to them, because God is telling Jeremiah, giving Jeremiah the instructions of what he has seen and what he has heard. Jeremiah is not following these people where they go. Where they go. But they're supposed to be the children of Israel, Judah and Jerusalem. And they are turned away from the God who brought them out. Now they're going back into Egypt. They're in Egypt. And they're burning incense to the Queen of Heaven. They're pouring out drink offerings. They're making cakes to an entity that can't see or hear. Can't do nothing for them. They have the living God that has delivered them. Brought them out. But now they're going back into this mindset of doing what they want to do. They said the prophet, we speak it with our own mouth. It's coming out of our mouth. And that's what we speak with our mouth. Is that what we're going to do? Now God is convicting them. Therefore hear ye the word of the Lord, all Judah, that dwell in the land of Egypt. Behold, I have sworn by my great name, says the Lord, that my name shall no more be named in the mouth of any man of Judah in all the land of Egypt, saying the Lord God liveth. God said to them through the prophet, he is not going to back what they say. And that we use God's name as a signature when we are saying something, because we know that we love the Lord, and we know that the Lord loves us. We know that he saved us, that he is our salvation. We know that he is our sovereign God. So we say we're the Lord in the name of Jesus Christ. I pray. But God is saying now that because that they are worshiping idols, they are walking through the fire and all the sending trend through the fire, all this stuff they're doing, they're giving reverence to this entity that's not even in heaven. There's only a king in heaven, Lord Jesus. But the people have become so blinded that they're worshiping something that they don't know about. Imagination. Behold, I will watch over them for evil and not for good. Do you hear what God's saying? He said he will watch over them for evil, not for good. We want God to watch over us for good. That no matter what comes against us, we know that we are covered. We are covered. I mean, things are still going to come against us, even though we are walking in this righteous path. Even though we have decided to live holy, things are still going to come after us, but God is covering us. I put a post this morning on Facebook. It doesn't matter what comes against me. I know that I'm covered in the name of Jesus. I know I'm covered. See, you got to know that you know that you know that you know. I mean, I might get, yesterday evening, I think I drank some hot bay leaf and cinnamon tea. And it was too hot. When I took the first sip, it burned the tip of my tongue. Well, the tongue seemed like it was scorched. And then the back of my throat, my glands, my thyroid glands back here was kind of swollen last night. Well, I've been this night and I'm reading this stuff and I'm saying, man, you know what? I don't know if I want to go on blow talk today because my throat don't feel good and my tongue is burning me. Well, by the time I get finished studying and praying and thanking God for how he's keeping me, well, my tongue didn't burn anymore. And the swelling was gone. You hear I'm talking? It's gone. Well, because I made a decision, I'm going to serve him with everything that's within me. I'm not worshiping no idols. I don't have any statues in my home. And any little monkey little dogs that I see around here that my daughter had when she was alive, I put them in the trash. You know, I put that stuff in the trash because those things, they cause other entities to come in your house. You see them little monkey dolls that they have, that them dolls that look like little demons, that the kids, they had several years ago, the kids used to like them, they used to have them on TV. Oh, they give two or three of them, go up my dog, the bad thing, they give one of the little monkey dolls. Every time I find one, every so often I find one of them, I put them in the trash. You got to get that stuff out of your house. No, you were saved and sanctified. Stop letting that stuff inside your house. Then you said, I wonder why all this stuff going on in my house. You hear Mother Grant crying like a baby, crying. Go through the house, clean the house. Go from corner to corner, crevices. Open the drawers and some stuff maybe in the drawers that you forgot was there before you got saved. Move that stuff out of your house. Clean the house out. Clean the house out. No. Here, the Bible says, God said to Jeremiah, talking to the people of Judah and Jerusalem, behold, I will watch over them for evil, telling Jeremiah, and not for good. And all the men of Judah that are in the land of Egypt shall be consumed by the sword and by the famine until there be an end of them. Yet a small number that escape the sword shall return out of the land of Egypt into the land of Judah, and all the remnant of Judah that are gone into the land of Egypt to sojourn there shall know whose word shall stand, mine or theirs. No. God is testifying. He testifying that he is God. He is supreme God. He is the owner and master of the universe. See, sometimes folk will get so indignant that they think that their word is more important or more powerful than God's word. But God said they shall know. that shall know who God, whose word was sent. That's why I like that. I teach the whole word, the whole word. Sometimes I do a little elaboration, but most of the time I'm teaching God's word straight from the book. Why? Because I don't want to put none to this thing. If I say something, it's what God is saying to me. But I don't want to put none, add none to this or take none from it. This word can do its work by itself. It don't need me to do nothing to it. People spend a whole week trying to write a sermon. A whole week trying to write a sermon, trying to sound so eloquent. They come on and try to sound so profound. You watch this lady, she's going to come on Friday. Probably Cheryl's going to come on. Because she's going to preach on Friday morning. She's got a powerful message, too. She gave me the title for the message, powerful message. And she's going to flow right out of her spirit, right out of the book, and out of her spirit. Don't have to have a whole lot of stuff. I write sermons, but we're running shop. But most of the time, if I go somewhere to preach, I don't even get to preach the sermon because the Holy Spirit take over. And I have to leave the sermon. I was in Louisiana preaching for a church over there. Apostle Wonder, something, I think it was the name, Wonder. And when I was preaching there, I was preaching about Hannah and how Hannah prayed for the son. And man, I tell you something. The Holy Ghost took over. I had to leave my book, my folder on the altar. And I thought, I can't get back there. And I kept saying, Hannah, I'm coming back to you. I'm coming back to you in a minute. Come back. Couldn't get back to it because the Holy Ghost took over. When the Holy Ghost, that's why you got to study the Word of God. You can't go around looking, hoping. You got to study the Word of God because when the Holy Ghost show up, he's going to bring that stuff to your remembrance. He's going to bring all that you put inside, going to come out of your belly. And I begin to flow. Let me just follow up this here. I got one more part of this to do, and then when I do this part, one more part, part seven, we'll go into chapter seven of Jeremiah and part of Book of Numbers, and then we'll start a new series of submits. And it shall be a sign unto you, saith the Lord, that I will punish you in this place, that you may know that my word shall surely stand against you for evil. Thus said the Lord, behold, I will give Pharaoh, Hathor, king of Egypt, into the hand of his enemies, and into the hand of them that seek his life, as I give Zedekiah, king of Judah, into the hand of Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, his enemy, and that sought his life. See, if you live contrary to God's word, you're going to die. There's no two ways about it. The Bible says, righteousness exalts a nation, but sin is a reproach to any people, any person, anyone. This is Proverbs 14 and 34. Now, here Jeremiah begins to speak this word with this power. And the people was mocking Jeremiah. I mean, they were mocking. They said, we're going to do what we say. We speak what we say. And we're going to do what we want to do. Mo said it. And we're going to say, let's go to chapter 7. Let's go to chapter 7. We got some time. So we know nobody's going to respond today anyway. We'll just put a little bit more on there. In chapter 7 of Jeremiah. Doing okay. In chapter 7 of Jeremiah.
You want to say
this?
Okay.
The Bible says, the word that came to Jeremiah from the Lord saying, stand in the gate of the Lord's house and proclaim this word and say, hear the word of the Lord, and all ye of Judah that enter in at these gates to worship the Lord. Jeremiah is speaking to people that you may say, know the Lord or know of the Lord. God told him to stay at the entrance and begin to proclaim his word. What are we proclaiming today? The word of God. But we got to ask ourselves all the time when we get up to the podium, what word am I going to proclaim today? My word or God's word? Because we want the people to hear God's word. God's word is what's going to make the difference in the lives of the people. Not my word. God's word. Thus says the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, amend your ways and your doings, and I will cause you to dwell in this place. Now see, God said, look, stop doing good. Stop doing all of this stuff, walking through the fire, causing your children to go through the fire, worshiping different gods, different entities, performing these rituals that do not glorify him. He says, stop doing what you're doing. Amend your ways. He said, and I will cause you to live in this land, this place. Trust ye not in lying words, saying the temple of the Lord, the temple of the Lord. See, a lot of times people are saying this stuff. This is the house of the Lord. But what's going on does not declare that it is the house of the Lord. This is why God is saying, stop saying the temple of the Lord, the temple of the Lord. And listen to what he says. This is so powerful. We're gonna elaborate more on this here the next time we come back, probably tomorrow. He says, for if you truly amend your ways and your doings, if you truly execute judgment between a man and his neighbor, if you oppress not the stranger, the fatherless, and the widow, and shed not innocent blood in this place, neither walk after other gods to your hurt. Listen to it. God is saying when you walk, when you worship other gods that's walking after them, it's going to cause you hurt. It's going to cause you pain. It's going to cause you to suffer. There's no benefit in worshiping Buddha. There's no benefit in worshiping some other god. All going to lead you astray. The benefits come from worshiping the Lord Jesus Christ, Yeshua. Then will I cause you to dwell in this place, in the land that I gave to your fathers forever and ever. He said, behold, you trust in lying words that cannot profit. You hear that? God sees and hears everything. You have some of these prophets and so-called leaders in the house of the Lord that they're not teaching the truth of God's word. They don't like us when we talk this. And see, no, I'm not talking about the preachers. I'm saying what God says. They're not preaching the truth. They're compromising the word of God, which gives life. It gives life to a dying man, the word of God. Jesus spoke the word. The word that the Father gave me spoke, and people came alive. Blind eyes were open. Deaf ears were unstopped. The crippled walked. Withered hands was made whole. Jesus did this. He spoke the words. Truth. That's why he said you should know the truth, and the truth should make you free or set you free. Will you steal, murder, and commit adultery, and astray falsely, and burn incense unto Baal, and walk after other gods? Whom you know that? Go and answer the question. Sometimes we walk after money. We walk after homes and cars and bling, materialistic things. We go and do double time because we want to have this and want to have that. We're walking after them. And we can't spend time to listen to the word of God. Since he preached too long. He preached too long, too loud, too soft. I don't understand him, all this stuff we go on. We try to critique the message instead of asking God, let me understand his dialect. Let me understand his accent. And somebody said, well, I don't understand him. He's preached too fast and he got an accent. Because all they come with a mindset to dissect who I am and who God said I am and what I'm doing. He says, and come and stand before me in this house, which is called by my name, and say we are delivered to do all these abominations? God asked a question. He said that they did performing all these abominations, and then they come into the house that's called by his name. You say the house of the Lord. And they lift up hands calling, say they lifted up holy hands, and they said we can do what we want to do. We just read that in the book of Jeremiah chapter 44. The people said what comes out of their mouth is what they're going to do. What they speak is what they're going to do. Said, Jeremiah, we heard you. We heard you, prophet. We heard you preaching about this Jesus. We heard you preaching about Yeshua and Yahweh and all this stuff. Jehovah Nisi, Jehovah Ashaddai, Jehovah Jabor, Jehovah Tishkanu. We heard you preaching all these holy names. But we're going to do what come out of our mouth. We want to have fun. We want to enjoy our life. This is our life. You can't tell us what to do, man of God. Woman of God, you can't tell us what to do. This is what they're saying. And God said, and you still come into my house after you do these wicked things, these abominable things you do, these abominations, and then you come into my house that is called by my name and say we are delivered to do these things. If we are saved, and we say we are saved and sanctified, we ought to be doing different things. We ought to be operating different. Here people say, I'm going to give you a piece of my mind, and then they're cutting the person out. But they say they love the Lord. They say I'm saved. I'm sanctified. I'm Holy Ghost filled. And the person says something wrong to them, something that offended them. And guess what happened? They started cutting the person out. She can't talk to me like that. I'm going to tell you who I am. Well, guess what happened? Satan just stayed back. And he just said, then he tell you, he accused you before the Lord. And he tell the Lord, say, I told you, she wouldn't really say it. He wouldn't really say it. Satan does this. That's why we have to study the word of God and live the word of God. Don't just say you got it. You ain't got it. I don't have it. I'm getting it. I'm going to get it every day. Every day somebody preach, I'm going to be here. I'm going to go somewhere and listen to the word. You see? I'm going to hear it. And then I'm going to activate it. Because it's the word that give me life. If I don't get this stuff, I am drained. You know, I'm hungry. I stay hungry for the word. You got to stay hungry for the word. You can't feel like you got it already. You got it all together. No, you got to stay hungry for the word. So, Lord, I'm hungry. You know, Lord, I'm hungry. Feed me. Feed me, Lord. Fill me. Some people say, feed me till I want no more. No, I said, feed me, Lord. Keep my belly full. Keep me full. Now, Jeremiah says, look. He says, God is speaking. Is this house, which is called by my name, become a den of robbers or den of thieves in your eyes? Behold, even I have seen it. Says the Lord. The Lord see it. It cannot be hidden from the Lord. The Lord said there's a bunch of cooks in the house. They're not concerned about reaching the people for God. They don't have a kingdom mindset. And God wants to get us to a place where all of us have a kingdom mindset. Hallelujah. What's a kingdom mindset? A kingdom mindset has a mind to please God. If you have a kingdom mindset, you want to please God. You want to do what pleases God. Hallelujah. Glory to God. My honey, she wants a license. You got to have this mindset to please him. That's how you know you're doing it. When you get a kingdom mindset, you start honoring God with the things that you do, the things that you say. Hallelujah. I want to live my life to please God. And I always say, I don't have it together yet. I always say that. Then so why are you saying that? He said he's apostle. He's preaching the word. Because I'm not perfect. I ain't got it together yet. I'm doing this thing every day. I tell you, I had a bad rest last night. I had a bad rest. My throat was bothering me, and my tongue was bothering me. But I prayed and I read and stuff, and then the Lord said, get on, get on. He said, okay, son, I got you. I see you're willing to do what I called you to do. And I tell you, I got on here, and the little swelling that I had on my tongue and the swelling I had on my thyroid glands, it's gone. It's gone. And I had a very heavy soreness in my throat, but it's gone. You can't even tell I had it. And last night it was bad. But this morning, God just took it away. He said, well, you made a house a den of peace. Listen to what God is saying. You can't go, you know, if you preach a message like this in the church, in the church building, they won't put you out. But God is speaking the truth, this powerful man. He called him the weeping prophet because he felt the people praying. Just like Jesus, he felt the people praying, and he would cry. He weep for the people because the people didn't want to follow. And all he's preaching and crying and weeping on, even goes into prison, into the dungeon. They put him in the dungeon for the word he was preaching. He wasn't preaching a watered down message. He's preaching the truth with fire. He said, let fire shine up in my bones. He said, but go. Go in now into the place which was in Shiloh and where I set my name at the first and see what I did to it for the wickedness of my people. Listen, I went back and looked at this in Shiloh. Shiloh was a place of worship. Listen, Shiloh was a place of worship, but the people became wicked just like this time here with Jeremiah. You know? You're looking now, the man was saying that not too many people go to the church building now. They're busy. You know, how the devil set this virus with the coronavirus. And then the president come and said, locking down everything. I was telling somebody at it, and God was showing me, he locked down everything in the country except the liquor stores. You know that? The liquor stores were still open. They didn't ever shut down the liquor stores. The bars, the restaurants, schools, jobs, everything was shut down. Was shut down. Even the church building was shut down. People had to start praying from home, praying. Congregating over the Zoom and Facebook Live and the blog talk and prayer lines, they had to do that. God says, go back and look at Shiloh. And when I went back and looked at this in 1 Samuel chapter 4, I see what happened over there. Thousands of people died. Thousands. In one incident, 30,000 people died. Another incident, the first incident, 4,000 died. And then another incident, 30,000 people died because of disobedience. People doing what they want to do. Worshiping other entities. Praying with God. And then God says, and now because you have done all these works, says the Lord, and I spoke unto you, rising up early and speaking, but you heard not, and I called you, but you answered not. God is calling. God is speaking. People are not hearing. Got a message I want to preach about. And the time is Yahweh speaking. Are you hearing? That's the time. That's the next series that I want to work on. Yahweh is speaking. Can you hear? Yahweh is speaking. Can you hear? He says, therefore, will I do unto this house, which is called by my name, wherein you trust, and unto the place which I give to you, and to your fathers, as I have done to Shiloh. Listen to me. The people trust in the big fancy building. The big stadiums that they have now. The big domes that they have. That they have thousands of people coming in and worshiping. They got multi-interest in the places. But they're compromising the word of God. Sin takes them abomination. They're telling the people I heard a preacher, I'm not going to call it this, but I heard a preacher who over there in Texas had a big megalink ministry. Have 3-4 services a day. I tell the people, he said, well, I'm going to tell you. I know a lot of people are saying that homosexual is not going to go to heaven. They're not going to go back when Jesus comes with our angels. But I don't believe that. He says, because God is a just God. He's a loving God, and he's a righteous God. And if God would take you back, why wouldn't he take the homosexual back? I believe God is going to take back. I believe that a lot of homosexuals are going to go back when God comes. That's what he says. But that's not what my Bible says. That's not what my Bible says. If they don't repent, all of us got to repent. I repent every day, every day. Because my thoughts be going crazy. I tell the truth. My thoughts go crazy sometimes. Seems like a tornado is moving through my head. All these different thoughts bombarding from every side. My body's speaking to me. And I got to go in there. The Lord, forgive me. Forgive me for my thoughts. Lord, clean me. Clean my thoughts. Wash my mind, Lord. Lord, block out this thing that's fighting so hard to infiltrate my soul. I come and pray. I'm not leaving the house and going someplace and doing this thing. But these devil machines that we got, I call them devil machines. These computers and these cell phones and stuff, man, they're wicked. They're wicked. The people behind them are wicked. They're controlling from wherever they are in their place. They're wicked. I mean, you could be watching a nice movie on YouTube or the TV, and all of a sudden, the pop-up comes up. I was watching some show the other night. I think it was Chicago Fire. It's a show that is a series that comes on 3 or 4 times a week, and the show is a lot of series at night. And they tell you about these firemen that they're going into houses burning. Some of the buildings that the firemen got to really fight to get out alive. And all of a sudden, 2 men pop up. In the movie, this is on TV. This is not on my computer. It's on the TV. 2 men shut up. And they started kissing each other, white man and black man. When I was growing up, women couldn't even wear a 2-piece bathing suit on the TV. You know the truth. Women couldn't even wear a 2-piece bathing suit, what they call a bikini and a top to the bathing suit, like a bra and a panty. But it's like, you know, a bathing suit, heavy fabric. No, they hardly got that thing on. I mean, I watched them on summer in Florida, and the girl got like a little string that come up between the crack of her behind. And just a bare little thing shaped like a heart in front of her. Just a bare little thing. And 2 little pieces of paper, look like pieces of paper, holding her breast. Her breast can't even fit in them. But all that stuff, now that you can see all that stuff on TV now, because the world has gone that kind of way. Lust has overtaken the world. The same weapon that Satan used in the Garden of Eden, he uses now. The lust of the flesh, the lust of the eye, and pride of life. And he taking them up, and he dressing them in all type of fashions that look good, and the people are going after it. Listen to me. I got a little bit more of this I want to put out here, and then I'm gonna pray and open the line and see what's happening. There we go. He says, I would cast you out of my sight, as I have cast out all your brethren, even the whole seed of Ephraim. Verse 16. Therefore, pray not thou for this people, neither lift up cry nor pray for them, neither make intercession to me, for I will not hear thee. Hear what God said. Hear what God said to Jeremiah, to the prophet. Because the people have become so wicked. You don't ever want to become this wicked. That God don't even want to hear prayer for you? That's wicked. That's abomination. That's real wickedness. God told Jeremiah right here, In this book, I hear this all the time. He says, therefore, pray not thou for this people, neither lift up a cry nor prayer for them, neither make intercessions to me, for I will not hear thee. He said, look, Jeremiah, I'm not going to hear you. He didn't say, I'm not going to hear the people. He said, Jeremiah, don't pray for them. Don't lift up a cry for them. Don't pray for them. Don't make intercession for them. He said, I will not hear you. That's his servant. Jeremiah is his servant. He called Jeremiah before he was in the he was in the mother room. He said, before you were in the mother room, I know who you were. I ordained you a prophet. So he knows Jeremiah, and he said, I will not hear you. Right. You're not going to hear Jeremiah on the behalf of these people, these wicked abomination of people. He said, I'm not going to hear you. Do you hear him? He said to Jeremiah, seest thou not what they do in the cities of Judah and in the streets of Jerusalem? He asked Jeremiah, don't you see what they're doing in the cities of Judah and in the streets of Jerusalem? Why would you want to pray for them? And sometimes we're looking at presidents and Congress and senators and all of these people that are doing all these committing abominational things, and we want to pray for them. God said, don't pray. He said, don't even call for them. He said, because I'm not going to hear you. Well, we want to pray for everybody in the mom and the dog, the cat, the parakeet, everything. God said, don't pray. Some people it's just wasting time praying for them. It's just wasting time. God tells Jeremiah, don't pray. Can you imagine the Supreme God saying this? You say, but your pastor said, pray for everybody. We got to pray for everybody. God says, some people you can't pray for. Don't intercede for them. He said, I'm not going to hear you. It's right here in the Word. Don't take my word for it. Right here, Jeremiah chapter 7, verse 16. It's right there. And then he asked Jeremiah, he said, look and see what they're doing in the cities of Judah and Jerusalem. Look and see what they've done. The children gather wood, and the fathers kindle the fire, and the women kneel their dough, and make cakes to the queen of heaven, and to pour out drink offerings unto other gods, that they may provoke me to anger. That this is what they're doing to God. Do they provoke me to anger, says the Lord? Do they not provoke themselves to the confusion of their own faces? Therefore, thus says the Lord God, behold, my anger and my fury shall be poured out upon this place, upon man, and upon beast, and upon the trees of the field, and upon the fruit of the ground, and it shall burn and shall not be quenched. Now watch this. Now, as you look at this word, you can see that the trees didn't do no wrong. The animals didn't do no wrong, but because of the abomination of the people in the land, in the city, in the country, even the trees and the dogs and the cats and the birds and the fowl have to pay for it. They have to bear the consequence of these abominational people. They have to bear the consequence. Can you imagine me sinning and committing adultery or fornicating or stealing stuff? And my dog here, which is a good dog, my granddaughter's dog, is a good dog. Very obedient dog. And she got to go through all type of torment from the Lord. Pain and all kind of hurt because of my sin. That's sad. Thus says the Lord God of hosts, the God of Israel, put your burnt offerings unto your sacrifice and eat flesh. For I spake not unto your fathers, nor commanded them in the day that I brought them out of the land of Egypt concerning burnt offerings or sacrifices. God said he didn't request burnt offerings or sacrifices, and he brought them out of Egypt. But they started now burning all this stuff and sacrifices to different gods. That's why they told, when Moses went up to the mountain to spend time with the Lord to get answers for the people of Israel, they convinced Aaron and his sons and Joshua and all of them that was down there. Joshua was waiting Moses, but they convinced Aaron to build them a god that they could worship, because they didn't know what would become of that Moses. That's how they talked about the man of God. I don't know what would come of that Moses. He's been gone long. We don't know what he's doing. He's been gone. We need a God we can see. God didn't ask for no sacrifices, no burnt offerings. But this thing commanded I them, saying, obey my voice, and I will be your God, and you shall be my people. And walk ye in all the ways that I have commanded you, that it may be well unto you. But they hearken not, nor incline their ears, but walk in the counsels and in the imaginations of their evil heart, and wait backward and not forward. Do you see that? They wait backward and not forward because they refuse to follow the command of the word of God. And they decide to do what was already in their minds. You hear me? They told Jeremiah in chapter 44 that what we speak out of our mouth is not what we're going to do. That's what we speak out of our mouth, we will do. So the Bible said that we will be judged according to all of our acts and all of our words. So they are being judged for the very words. Since the day that your fathers came forth out of the land of Egypt, verse 25, Jeremiah chapter 7, unto this land, I have even sent unto you all my servants, the prophets, daily rising up early and sending them. Yet, that's in Nehemiah chapter 9, verse 30 also. Yet they hearken not unto me, nor incline their ears, but harden their neck. They did worse than their fathers. Do you hear that? They did worse than their fathers. Now the children grew up in the wilderness and went into the promised land. They started out doing good, honoring the word of God, but they ended up doing worse than their fathers. Hallelujah. I thank God that God is changing my life. My father was an alcoholic. I became a drug addict. And God delivered me and set me free from crack cocaine and every mind-altering substance he delivered me from. And I thank God that no matter what comes down my pipe, I said this morning that I'm covered in the name of Jesus. I'm not going back to the life that I used to live. He said, therefore, verse 27, therefore thou shalt speak all these words unto them. God is speaking to Jeremiah. But they will not hearken to thee. Thou shalt also call unto them, but they will not answer thee. But thou shalt say unto them, this is a nation that obeys not the voice of the Lord their God, nor receiveth correction. Truth is perished and is cut off from their mouth. Oh, Lord Jesus. The Lord said to Jeremiah, truth is nowhere to be found. Oh, my God, my God, my God. He said that the nation obeys not the voice of the Lord, their God, nor receiveth correction. He said, truth is perished and is cut off from them. In other words, there's no truth. They're not speaking any truth. He said, cut off thy ear, O Jerusalem, and cast it away, and take up a lamentation on high places. For the Lord have rejected and forsaken the generation of his wrath. The children of Judah have done evil in my sight, saith the Lord. They have set their abominations the house which is called by my name. To pollute it. Now they're bringing stuff in the house. We got to watch that. Sometimes the people bring some stuff in the house. You got to pay attention. What they're bringing, what they're wearing. You know, some people got all of these different stuff around their neck and don't know what is the meaning to it. Some people, I see some of the pastors got this big old statue on their neck, on the cross. And Jesus is no longer on the cross. They took him down off the cross. They put him in a barred tomb. And they have built the high places of Tophet, which is in the valley of the son of Hinnom, to burn their sons and their daughters in the fire, which I commanded them not, neither came it into my heart. See, they caused their children to go through the fire and get burned as sacrifice. Hallelujah. But God said he didn't command them, neither was it in his heart for them to do it. This is why we gotta ask God, even when we are fasting and praying, Lord, what do you want me to do? What should I do that will please you and honor you? Don't just start doing something because you heard some other pastor says, or some bishop says, well, we did this or did that when we were fasting or praying. No, see if God wants you to do that. See if God wants you to do that. And see then, if what you want to do or asking God is abomination to God. Therefore, behold, the days come, saith the Lord, that I shall no more be called Tophet. Therefore, behold, the days come, saith the Lord, that it shall no more be called Tophet, nor the valley of the son of Hinnom, but the valley of slaughter. For they shall bury in Tophet till there be no place. They shall be buried in Tophet till there be no place. And the carcasses of this people shall be meat for the fowls of the heaven and the beasts of the earth, and none shall fray them away. None shall be afraid of them. And then will I cause to cease from the cities of Judah and from the streets of Jerusalem the voice of mirth and the voice of gladness and the voice of the bridegroom and the voice of the bride, for the land shall be desolate, saith the Lord. This is the word of God. I'm telling you something. This is so powerful. Now, the last part that I'm going to do at this is I'm going to go, not today, I'm going to go into 1 Samuel, because we got some stuff we got to go there and bring up over to 1 Samuel, probably Isaiah chapter 3 and 2 Timothy. This is the word of God. I'm telling you something that we got to look. We got to examine what we are doing in the house of the Lord. We really got to examine it. And we got to examine what people are doing, what they're saying. Hallelujah. Because God is watching. He told Jeremiah that he saw all what the people have done. He told Jeremiah this. I said, people stand up here and say, well, you're going to pray for this, right? I said, if the Lord lead me to. But if the Lord don't lead me to, I'm not going to pray for him. You said, but you're a pastor, you got to pray to everybody. That's not what God told me. He told Jeremiah the prophet here not to pray for them because of what they were doing, their lifestyle didn't bring glory to him. It didn't edify the kingdom. We got to be careful. I'm telling the truth. We got to be careful of what we are seeing and doing. Because the folk are not, if they're not glorifying the Lord, I had a lady come on the line and I was working for some preacher. I was working for a preacher on another line. And the lady come on, she said to me, with an evangelist, a prophet or something. They said, why back? This many years back, about 4 or 5 years, maybe even longer than that. I was on a pastor line from Texas. One of my spiritual daughters. And the lady comes, she says, Apostle, when you finish, can you pray? Can you pray for me? For my husband. I saw my husband. I was over in, I don't remember if it was Chicago. I want to pray. She was in Michigan. Somewhere over there, she was over there. She was at a conference, revival or something. And she said she saw her husband. God showed her. So, you know, the crowd, you know, the people get, that's good. Probably said, man, that's good. You know, the people was excited with her that she saw her husband, God showed her husband. Well, she said, you can pray for me when we get off the line. Can I have your number? So I said, well, let Pastor so-and-so, she'll give you my number because she knows the pastor. That's my spiritual daughter over there. So I said, let's see. And it was my pastor, my daughter's line. I said, let's see, give you the number. So she gave this prophet, this evangelist, whatever it is, give her my number. And I tell the truth, I was amazed. When she called me after the line shut down to pray for her, pray with her, she said, I dropped something in my spirit that was so heavy. Oh, God, not even God was with it. She's supposed to be a woman of God. She told me, you see, the prophet, I saw my husband. I said, that's good. Who he is? And then she told me the prophet, the pastor name. She says, he's going to be my husband. And then she says, he was married to this woman. And when she said that, I said, now, you know, see how the devil comes? And that will come to really mess you up. Like, I'm going to pray for that. Pray to break up somebody's marriage. God will not receive that prayer. And I told her straight, I can't pray for that stuff. I said, I can't pray for that. She never talked to me since that day. And it didn't bother me none. Because some people you got to lose. You got to lose some people to gain some people. She haven't talked to me since that day. God told Jeremiah, he said, Jeremiah, therefore pray not thou for this people, neither lift up cry, nor pray for them. And you know, Jeremiah was considered a weeping prophet. So he cried for the people because he heard, he felt the people's pain. He felt this, he felt the infirmities, all the stuff that was going on. He felt it, and he cried out to God for the people. You know, once he started to talk to the people, he began to cry, weeping. He said, neither make intercessions to me, for I will not hear thee. He told his servant, he said, if you pray for these people, if you cry for them, if you intercede for them, he said, look, I will not hear you. I'm not going to hear you. You'll be just praying in the ear. So we know the Bible said God hears everything. He sees everything. So as I'm studying this, if God tells Jeremiah he's not going to hear him, he's not going to hear him when he crowd, if he crowd, or if he pray or intercede for these people. God has to do something to block his hearing. You got to think this thing through. You got to see the big picture. Because God hears everybody. He hearing people right now. If we preaching here, there's people preaching in India. There's people preaching in Africa. They're preaching in the Caribbean. He hears everybody at the same time. But this particular thing, God said, I'm not going to hear. When you crying out for wicked people, that's he not going to hear. These people is abomination in the presence, in the sight of God. They cause their children to run through fire, burning their children in fire for the Queen of Heaven. Is there Queen of Heaven? Did the Bible tell it is the Queen of Heaven? I haven't read that. No place in the Bible that says the Queen of Heaven. Oh, here the Bible said the King, the Lord, the Father, the Son. I never heard the Bible say nothing about no Queen in Heaven. But they're worshiping this Queen of Heaven. They're burning incense to her. They're giving her drink offerings. They're making cakes and putting on the altar for her. This is an abomination in the sight of God. And God became angry. I had people that told me that had Buddhas. They was going to church and had Buddhas. And I almost got caught up in it. I wasn't saved then. But I looked at the people and I see that these people were from my country. They were prospering. They had two or three houses they had bought here in America. And they had not even a hut. I said, man, I'm going to the Buddha temple. Well, I went to the Buddha temple. But I'm going because I see what the people that don't serve God does. And my friend had a Buddha, Gahanga, in his house. with a little fat belly Buddha inside it and a little thing that holds the incense. And every so often, two or three times a day, they light the incense and they all kneel down and they chant. I know the chant too, because I was doing the chant. You know, but God had to remind me. Even though the church that I grew up in was imperfect, at least I learned a little bit about Jesus, that he was Lord. Lord, they didn't baptize me in the pool and put me down the water, submerge me. This difficult cup of water, a little of water pour my head, tell me I was baptized, to sprinkle me. But I went down the water this time here in America. Years ago, I went down in the water all the way down. All the way down, I was submerged. And then when they come up, emerged out of that water, I was running and screaming and shouting and crying like Jeremiah. Because I realized I had the real deal. And I was filled with the Holy Ghost. I was talking in tongues. The lady laid hands on me. When I come up, and she said, let him go. Elder Izzy said, let him go. He said, let him go. And I run off. Couldn't stop running. Because you know when you've been touched by the Lord, your life is never the same. I can go anywhere, people smoking cocaine, smoking marijuana, drinking Jack Daniels and cognac and all that stuff. I can go anywhere. That stuff don't, that's corn liquor, all that stuff, that don't bother me anymore. Don't faze me. I got wine right here. Been here for 7 months now. Call, I do a drink a little timber. Then the Lord tell me to do Holy Communion. I got my Jewish matzah here. And I do Holy Communion. And I take a little timber. And that's kosher wine. I don't have to drink a whole glass full. Take a little timber. Because I know when I drink it, I'm drinking this. It's transformed from the natural through the vine to the blood of Jesus Christ. I believe that. And that there's matzah crackers. It's transformed from the wheat of the field to the body of Jesus Christ. I don't have to drink nothing else to change me. I've already been changing. I'm not changed all the way yet, but I'm changing. Every day I'm changing. He do. Yeah, no. One thing I don't know, Father, I thank you for this word that you've given us today. What a word, oh God, what a word, Lord, how you take us through the scriptures and show us what is abomination to you in your sight and what caused you to be angry and what caused you to destroy those that abuse your trust and your commands. Lord, I ask you to continue to heal us. Lord, draw us closer to you, Lord. Lord, we ask you to search our hearts. And if there be any evil thing in it, Lord, we ask you to remove it. God, we ask you to clean us from the inside out. Lord, that somebody might see the light of life upon us and get to enjoy it through us, that they will come to the main light, which is you, and receive the gift of salvation. You know, many today are wandering and lost in this world that we live in. And we are enjoying the very fruits of our lives. Jesus allows us to enjoy long life, good health, with peace, enjoying the Holy Ghost. He's made us rich. You know, I like to say that the soul is immortal. It will never die. But as it separates from your body, there are two possible destinations for it: heaven, eternity with God, everlasting happiness, or eternity without God, everlasting suffering. There's only one person in this world with the ability to choose where you are going to live eternally. You may say that person is God, but God says in his word, the Bible, that person is you. Only you can choose or determine the destination, the eternal destination of your soul. You may, if you wish, choose heaven now. But if you think you can leave this matter for another time, the choice of eternity without God would have been chosen for you if you die right now. This is where you will go forevermore. If you do not die now, you will be still walking towards eternity without God. Certainly would prefer to go to heaven. And to be sure that you will enjoy heaven, this is what you must do. You must first recognize that you are a sinner. God says in his word, the Bible, for all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. That's Romans chapter 3 and 23. Second, you must recognize that you cannot go to heaven on your own efforts. Ephesians 2 and 8 and 9 says, for by grace you have been saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest anyone should boast. In this scripture says that nobody can pay for you to go there. Nobody can give you a ticket and go there. You can't purchase a ticket to go there. The only one can allow you to go in is Jesus Christ, and it comes in by you believing, trusting in the finished work of the cross and living the life that gives him glory, a holy life that will cause you to go. And John said, thirdly, you must believe that Jesus Christ can take you to heaven. Jesus says in John 14 and 6, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one cometh to the Father except through me. Jesus didn't say, like a lot of preachers that I know, and you know, you've seen them on TV with Oprah Winfrey saying that there's many ways to God. But Jesus said that he's the only way. The Bible called him the door, the gate, hallelujah, the shepherd of the sheep. This Bible calls him all these things. Let's tell you that he's the only one. Fourth, you must accept Jesus Christ as your only Savior. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and you will be saved in Acts 16 and 31. Some may say, I'm still young and I can leave this matter for later. I'd like to tell you this one thing, that if you look at the news on the television, if you read the newspaper on the internet, because the newspaper comes on the internet now, some cities still have it, the hard copy, but most is on the computer. You will see that how frequently the young people are dying. I mean, every day you hear in this state, this country, this nation, this continent, young people are dying even before they reach the age of 18, 21. They're dying. So, thinking that you can save this thing for later, I would like to say two things. You don't need to be old to be near eternity. Second, the prophecies of the Bible say that Jesus will return again. And these prophecies are being fulfilled in our days. How will your life be on that day? Think about it. Because the only way to reach this blessing is through Jesus. Jesus said in Revelation chapter 22 and 7, behold, I am coming quickly. He didn't say he was coming quick. He said he's coming quickly. That means quicker than quick. If you decide not to choose heaven, know that you are walking towards eternity without God, under God's wrath. He who does not believe the Son, Jesus, the wrath of God abides on him. In John chapter 3, verse 36b. In John chapter 3 and 16, the Bible says, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him should not perish, have everlasting life. The Bible also said in John 3:16-17, that God sent his Son into the world not to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. He that believeth on him is not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned already, because he hath not believed in the only begotten Son of God. And this is the condemnation, that light has come into the world, and men love darkness rather than light, because their deeds were evil. For everyone that doeth evil heedeth the light, neither cometh to the light, lest his deeds should be reproved or examined. He that doeth truth cometh to the light, that his deeds may be made manifest, clear, that they are wrought in God. And the Bible says, Mark chapter 16 and verse 15, 16, and 17, And he said, talking with Jesus, and he said unto them, Jesus speaking to these servants, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved, but he that believeth not shall be damned. And these signs shall follow them that believe. In my name they shall cast out devils. They shall speak with new tongues. They shall take up serpents. And if they drink any deadly thing, it shall not hurt them. They shall lay hands on the sick, and they shall recover. I want to read another scripture in Matthew, and then we'll go to Acts. Matthew chapter 28 and 19, I think it is. Yes. Jesus says, go ye therefore in and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and in the name of the Son and in the name of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. Amen. Now, when we see this, a lot of people get despondent, discombobulated with that. And they see that. So what Jesus says, baptize in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Ghost. Well, you see, he was talking singular, not plural. Singular, in the name singular. In the name of the Father is Jesus. In the name of the Son is Jesus. In the name of the Holy Ghost is Jesus. Now here in Acts 2 and 30, it was clarified, that scripture. It says, then Peter said unto them, repent. See, this is the key right here. Repent, me to turn from whatever sin held you in bondage. Whatever vice have you. You know what vice have you. You know what vice is holding on to you. Whatever is holding you and keeping you away from Jesus, whatever is the block, whatever is the partition that keeping you away from Jesus, you need to repent for. Turn away from it. Leave it alone. Give it up. Give it up. He says, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. For the promise is unto you and to your children and to all that are far off, even as many as the Lord our God shall call. And with many other words did he testify and exhort, saying, save yourself from this entourage or crooked generation. Then they that gladly received his word were baptized, and the same day there were added unto them about 3,000 souls. And they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship, and in breaking of bread and in prayers. And fear came upon all, every soul, and many wonders and signs were done by the apostles, and all that believed were together. I had all things common. I want you to understand that the Holy Spirit does a work in us. Jesus commanded the Spirit to do work in us. That's why he said it's expedient that he go back to the Father, but that he would not leave us comfortless. He would send the Spirit of truth. The Bible says, neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. Jesus is the only name. Preachers get mad with each other because some preachers have not gotten the revelation that Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. They don't realize that that's the name that you're baptized in. The people begin to come against the apostle, but the apostle said that they got this revelation. They got this revelation. And we got it too, the same revelation. And people are still stuck on arguing with each other, but instead of asking the Holy Ghost to give them the revelation that Jesus is the Father, he is the Son, and he is the Holy Ghost, that he's God. Father, we just thank you for those that would receive salvation today. If you don't know him as your Lord and Savior, I've read a few scriptures, many more scriptures I could read to you, but I believe that's enough. I give you some out of my spirit, and I give you some out of the book that you need to get an understanding that Jesus is the one who paid the ultimate price at Calvary. He laid down his life. The Bible says he laid down his life. No one took it from him. And he would take it up at the right, appropriate time. So if you don't know Jesus as your Lord and Savior, the first thing you want to do is ask the Lord to forgive you. Ask the Lord, repent. Say, Lord, I repent of my sins. I've lived my life according to my own will. I did my own thing. I chose. I was just like those Israelites there in the book of Jeremiah that did whatever they spoke, whatever came out of their mouth they did. I was like that, Jesus. But today I've heard your word, and I'm convicted in my spirit that I've been living wrong. And I want to change, Jesus. And I recognize, according to the book of Romans, which says that if I confess with my mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in my heart that God raised him from the dead, I shall be saved. For with the mouth man confession is made unto salvation, with the heart. Let me just say, something, so much stuff going through here. Oh, bless the Lord Jesus. So much stuff happening here. I know the scripture by heart, but for some reason I'm hearing like four different things going on in my mind right now. Excuse me, but I got to go take a look at it because I know this by heart. He said, as I confess with my mouth the Lord Jesus, and shall believe in my heart that God raised him from the dead, I shall be saved. For with the heart man believe for unto righteousness, and with the mouth confess is made unto salvation. For the scripture says, whosoever believeth on him shall not be ashamed. I know the scripture by heart, but I hear so much stuff. Just, you know, sometimes you're studying, and all of a sudden so much things bombarding your mind at the same time. If you confess with your mouth right now that Jesus is Lord, could you believe what you read or heard that he's done at Calvary, a hill called Golgotha or the skull? It's the same place. And you believe that Jesus died for your sins, and that he is the only one that can pardon you, that the only one that can forgive you and set you free. And you confess it now as you repent, saying, Lord, I repent of my sins. And Father, I turn away from the evil that I was doing in my life that I thought was satisfying my flesh. I denounce Satan and all of his agents and this world system. And Father, I come in the precious name of Jesus, knowing that he is the only one that can save me and set me free and give me the right to the tree of life. Jesus, I receive you now as my Lord and my Savior and my soon coming King. Come into my heart. Sit on the throne of my heart. I no longer want to be the king of my life, but I want you to be king. I need you to be king of my life. I need you to wash me in your blood and cleanse me from all unrighteousness, according to 1 John 1 and 9. Jesus, I thank you now for saving me and setting me free. In Jesus' holy name, I pray. If you just said that and you believe, you have just received the gift of salvation, a new life, a spiritual life. Now, my recommendation, that God told me this in 2010 when we started this ministry, ask the people to start to read or study, because the Bible don't ask you to read, it tells you study. Study Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, and the book of Acts, so you get a gospel understanding of this Savior, this Lord, this King, this Deliverer, this Restorer, this Healer that we preach and teach about every day on this Blog Talk Radio. You get to understand that the apostle doctrine is the same doctrine as Jesus. It's not two doctrines, the same doctrine. They say the same thing that Jesus said. And as you study the word, call up a pastor, preacher, teacher, and say, look, you know, I say the prayer of salvation. I believe, I know in my heart that I'm saved because I received Jesus as my Lord. But I want to be baptized according to Acts 2 and 38 and according to Mark chapter 16, verse 15, 16, and 17, and 18. I want to be baptized in Jesus' name. The pastor might say they don't baptize in Jesus' name. They baptize Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. And you say, well, okay, I just tell them, well, I'll get back in touch with you. Don't get mad and say, well, the Bible says the Bible says. Don't start a ruckus with the pastor. Just leave and say, well, I'll get back in touch with you as soon as I get my witnesses and my family together, because you need witnesses to witness this very, the greatest occasion of your life, when you have a new life. You're being born again. and then find your pastor that will baptize you in Jesus. This is your salvation, not the pastor's salvation. You're fighting for your soul, and you want to be baptized the right way. So you want to be baptized in Jesus' name. Before you get baptized, invite your friends, your family, your co-workers, and even your enemies. Somebody said, well, why you always say the enemies? Because, you know, when you know you got some enemies, they're still going to come back by, try to get you back in the life you've been living. I tried to think about this guy that we used to all get high. We did a lot of stuff with. He shot people and killed people. I didn't kill nobody. Praise God. But he spent a long time in jail, about 13 or 14 years. And when he came out of prison, I guess I was the first person he called because, you know, I always had transportation, good transportation. So he called me. And when he called me, he said, man, I'm getting out today. Or he was out, something like that. Well, we can get together. I said, no, we can't get together. I said, man, because I don't get high no more. I don't do that stuff I used to do before. I'm saved. I'm a minister. He said, what? Man, you kidding me? I said, no, I'm not kidding. I'm serious. And I was stern, very adamant about it. I said, man, I'm a minister of the gospel. I don't do that stuff no more. So he really couldn't believe, you know. And I stood my ground. I said, yeah, man, I'm saved. I'm sanctified. I'm living for the Lord. And guess what? He never called me back since that day. And it's been 10 years. I mean, at least I would say more than 20 years. He haven't called me back. I don't know if he went back to jail. I don't know if he's dead because he loved the fast lane. And, you know, when people love the fast lane, a lot of things happen. But I stayed here. I stayed in walking for the Lord. I don't get it right every day, but I try my best every day to stay in the presence of the Lord, to talk to the Lord and ask the Lord questions. And sometimes he gives me answers that I don't want to hear, but I need to hear. Because, you know, we all want to hear what we want to hear when we want to hear it. But God, he gives us what we need to hear. And it convicts me and it turns me around from going left to going right. So, I thank God for you all that came on today to hear this word. I thought it was a great word from the Lord to us. And I enjoyed it. It really blessed me. Both of those chapters really touched my heart, chapter 7 and chapter 44 of Jeremiah. I got one more part to do of this, and then I'm going to go into teaching another series of hearing Yahweh. Hearing Yahweh. The line is open. Anyone that wants to respond, you can. The line is open. Well, Father, we thank you and praise you, O God, for the word. Thank you for those that got on and were able to hear the word. We ask you to bless every hearing ear and every seeing eye. We ask, Father, now as we leave this land but not your presence, we ask you to bless us in the city, bless us in the field. Bless us when we come, dear God, and bless us when we go. We ask, Father God, and pray that you continue to make us the head and not the tail, that you set us above and not beneath, God, that you will continue to make us the lenders and not the borrowers. Oh, Father, we ask for blessings to come to us that we can be a blessing to those that really want to see your hands, oh God. Know that you are the one who is supplying their every need. Lord, as you bless us, we are going to be a blessing. In Jesus' holy name. Now may the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the sweet communion of the Holy Spirit continue to rest and abide with us. And surely, goodness and mercy shall follow us all the days of our lives as we dwell here in the house of the Lord forever and ever. Amen and amen. Remember to tell someone that God loved them, you love them, and Jesus is the only way. Maybe the word that you speak today in somebody's ear, that will make all the difference in their lives and may stop someone from committing suicide. May stop someone from kidnapping a child, raping a child, sodomizing a child, or even breaking into someone's home and committing some heinous crime. Jesus said it this way. He said, let your light so shine before men that they will see your good works and glorify the Father which is in heaven. And all that means is that the very characteristics of who Jesus is should be seen in our lives. The very characteristics, the attributes of Jesus Christ should be seen. How we walk, how we talk, how we treat people, how we respond. And the very love of Jesus should be seen in our life, in our ministry. Our ministry, our life is our ministry. That's our ministry. You know, people think it's the building, keyboard player and all that stuff. No, it's your life, your walk, the way you live your life. That's your ministry. People is watching that. They hear you preach one way, teach one way, but they're watching how you walk. Do your walk line up with your talk? That's your ministry. I thank God for you all. I love you guys so much. Maybe back tomorrow. They'll bring you part seven of this word. And then Sunday, Prophetess Cheryl will be in. Cheryl Kersey will be in on Friday. And then Saturday, I believe, Minister Andre will be in. God bless you all. Have a blessed evening, safe evening. And stay warm. We got this weekend. It's going to be a gigantic storm is coming this way this weekend. So we are preparing ourselves for that. They say this is going to be a very large storm. So people have to get buy them food and all that stuff, strength, store, because we don't know how bad it's going to be. And sometimes it's so bad here, even though we got all the equipment for storms here. Snowstorms, it doesn't matter. You still can get locked down. Trees will break down the pole, and electricity go out and everything freeze up. You know, I don't have a generator, so if that happened, I have to leave, go to a hotel or something. But either way, God will work it out. God will work it out. So we love you guys so much and pray we see you all on tomorrow. Tell somebody about the ministry that they can come and hear a word. And I'll talk to you all soon. Goodbye.